After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, Drew Nixon alongside Mac Morey, Julio Sanchez producing the show. Woo! We're going to get into a lot. We're talking Chiefs, going to have some college football in there. The way that we consume sports is changing. It seems like every single month, every single year. We'll get into that as well. As a whole lot more, we're going to have some fun. Out of left field question as well coming up in an hour's time. But we're going to start off with this game. I know, look, it's the Panthers. It's easy to look past. We're going to talk about it a little bit, but in a different sort of way. Mac and I are about to play this game. You can also join in the conversation as well. As always, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We're going to rank your concern level from 1 to 10 on a scale for the Chiefs in this game in particular. But obviously, we've talked about a number of these positions, but we're going to go one through, it looks like, five position groups. Again, 913-586-7965. 1 to 10, your concern, Mac, for the left tackle.
And again,
for left tackles.
Really, it's plural there. It's really, is it Kingsley? Is it Wanye? And I would say 1 to 10, 10 being panic button, we're screwed, the season's over. Left tackle, which, by the way, I don't think the Chiefs have a 10, if that's the scale. I think the left tackle is probably a 7.5 is what I'm giving it. I mean, where are you at on Julio? Does that sound decent? 7.5?
Yeah, I was going to say about between 6.5, 7. So, yeah.
Okay. We're in the same ballpark there. Yeah. Left tackle for me. And again, this is more concerning
for this game in particular. We're talking about just to,
I'm talking really about the season
in general. I think it's higher than that, actually.
Really? Oh, for the whole season?
I might go 7.5 or 8.
Okay, I'm at 7.5. Yeah.
Yeah, I could stretch it because in this game, I don't think we're going to see that be tested as much as when they play the Browns, when they play the Steelers, when they play the Texans, if Will Anderson can go. When you're playing against those top tier, you know, guys, we're going to continue to see the left tackle play against elite pass rushers. Yep. And I think as long as there's not necessarily iffy play, as long as Wanye Morris is healthy, I think that it's not going to be like, please, can we call Donovan Smith? But if for whatever reason he struggles a little bit or he's having a health problem or he has to come out again, I think they're going to have to make it. They're going to have to bring in somebody else because Ethan Driscoll, he didn't even play. He did a great job making the team. He's a guy out of Marshall, you know, cool story. But Kingsley being on whatever, the third string, I don't know if he's going to play again this year. I don't think you trust him to play again this year. I'd be more concerned than a 7.5, I think, for the left tackles, just in general, because of what we've seen previously. When you need to be on point, do you trust Wanye Morris? Do you trust whoever is at left tackle to be able to help protect Patrick Mahomes? I have more questions. So I'm going to go a little bit higher at about an 8.
Okay, that's fair. And I think the depth is a reasonable concern to bring up there, because if Wanye does continue to deal with the health issues, he does go down, which would be extremely unfortunate. And Kingsley is kind of just pushed into this starting role. Yeah, that would kind of bring me up to more of that 9 area.
A couple of Texans, 6 and 7 for left tackle.
Yeah, like you said, it's the health thing. If he gets hurt, it's a major issue.
It's a
but
major
for now,
issue.
I mean, they've played some pretty good defenses. He's
you feel good enough
to
about
par.
You feel good enough about Wanye to be
I mean, they've played some pretty good defenses. He's held his own. He's not perfect. He's probably bottom 15.
He's like Andy Reid.
Serviceable.
Serviceable. Yes, especially with one of, if not the best, sack evader and time creator in the game, in Patrick Mahomes. So, and this is with, you know, the receiver core being injured and not 100%, getting some of those guys back. You know, the offense is going to get back. Pacheco is going to help with that. So I'm going to stick with my 7.5, but I do agree the health thing is a concern. And like Julio brings up, no one. Yeah. We could tick that number up a bit, but yeah, it seems like the text line, similar ballpark. At least we're all in that 6 to 8-ish range.
Definitely moderate to higher moderate.
Exactly.
Nothing.
It is not nothing. We are not just shaking our heads, but I agree with Julio. I'm not watching the games and every 30 seconds going, my God, what's going on? What is 64 doing? There are multiple moments. There's still those moments, but it's not every drive, every play. But there's no doubt there were at least 2 key moments that are coming to my mind from last Sunday where it was like, could have used an extra half second there. Could have used it.
Definitely. And I think part of it, too, is it's impacting the way that Patrick Mahomes is kind of playing. You know, he's getting happy feet. He doesn't trust the offensive line as much.
No
doubt.
It
has been iffy at times.
It's cyclical.
Corner, up next. 1 to 10, your concern for the corners. I think in particular, it's cornerback two, really. It's not even, like, Trent McDuffie is elite. We know he's one of the best corners in the game. There. But cornerback two, your concern level with Nazi Johnson is what?
I am hedging here. I'm going to go a little lower than I want to say because of my trust and belief in Spagnuolo. And like I said yesterday on the show with you, Drew, what we have seen from these young defensive backs in the Dave Merritt and Spag system, I'm going to go 6.5. Part of me wants to go up to that 7.5, but I'm going to go, you know what? Again, Nazi hasn't been complete burnt toast the whole time, has shown some good stuff. And I feel like with another 7 weeks, come the time when it really does matter, he'll be much better.
I'm a little more nervous, I think, than the whole left tackle situation.
Really?
Only because he's starting and he's iffy and he's been picked on. And they're going to continue to pick on him.
Yes.
And I know Spags, right? He's one of the best. He'll figure out some things to kind of patchwork it and do that. But once you start going up against elite receivers, teams that have elite depth at wide receiver position, he's going to get eaten up.
Yeah,
that makes me nervous. Yeah. You can only patchwork so much.
Exactly.
There's no fixing it at this point.
How much can you really disguise? Yeah.
From the 660, they say a 6 for this. They also gave a 6 for the left tackle position. I think I'm going to go 6 or 6.5. The reason why is because I think it's Spags and it's Coach Merritt is when it matters most, like he might be picked on now, but I think all of this is a learning curve for him to continue. Because now we've seen Nazi Johnson, since Jalen Watson has gone down, he's getting all of basically the CB2 reps. He's the one who's going to be trusted. By the time we get to, I don't know, the playoffs, I would think it'd be a little bit better.
Yes.
If we're looking at the Steelers game or the Texans game where here in a few weeks he's still getting picked on and it's still a problem, the concern level goes up. But for me, I think I trust Spags enough where Nazi Johnson is going to be better in 4 weeks than what he is currently. It makes me not comfortable, but I would say a 6 or 6.5. It is a little bit of a concern just based on what we saw last week in particular, where Josh Allen's like a 13 is on this side. I'm going after him.
Yeah. Well, and I think you at least have the ability for the defense to, you know, like we said, Spags, Dave Merritt helping him, obviously. But then also, hey, we're going to have a safety over there. Hey, we're going to make sure there are things that you can do.
You're almost
a little
chip
bit
blocking for your corner.
And with the left tackle, I mean, yeah, chip block here and there. But at the end of the day, it's still TJ Watt. It's still Myles Garrett. It's still, you know, whoever there. I don't have a safety back there helping me. So I think that's why it's a tick higher for me on the left tackle. But I'd agree. These are the top two. I don't know. We'll see what the text line says. But I think these would be the top two concerns for the rest of the season.
The next one might be in the running to be inside of that top two.
Okay.
That's a defensive line, I think, because of the lack of sacks in particular that there have been. Again, sacks are only a stat. They've still won games. The defense still looks good. But is the defensive line a concerning thing? I think it is, but what level compared to the left tackle and corner spots would you say, Mac, is defensive line? We haven't seen George Karlaftis really have that, not necessarily coming out party, but I think there was one game where George actually was really good. I can't remember what game that was. I don't know if it was the Bengals game or not. That seems like it was too far ago or too long ago. But George Karlaftis hasn't been as consistent over the course of what we expected. Hasn't really stepped up in the light that we maybe thought. They do get Charles Omenihu back.
Massive.
That's why my concern, I think, is more of like a 5 or like a 4.5 or a 4 or 5, because they aren't getting the sack numbers, but Charles Omenihu's coming back. I think that they're going to be just fine.
Well, they're the best run defense in the league, so I want to give the D-line that credit right off the bat. This is, and admit, not the best, fine. They're, as far as yards are concerned, they're third. So I want to give that off the bat. This run defense has been great, so that for the D-line, I got to give them credit. But yeah, the pass rush does have to step up, but I've seen these cats before do it when it matters. And Turk Wharton, man, the first 4 weeks of the season, what a hell of a year. On fire. He has tapered down a bit. I believe that he can get back up there. Omenihu, we've seen what he can do in this system. And then Josh Uche, I mean, I think it was 5 snaps on Sunday. He's been here a few weeks, and this is not a wide receiver situation where it's like, playbook and system and rush the passer or go back in the hook curl and a zone and cover the flat.
Want
like, whatever
to see a little
it is
bit more from him.
Like, come on. We got this guy. This is a former, you know, first, second round pick or whatever it may be. This is a good talent. This is a guy in 2022 who had a good amount of sacks, can really get to the quarterback. This is why they traded for him. So But the reinforcements are there. That's basically what I'm saying. The solutions are in-house. I feel like this will get better.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm at about a 5-2, only because, like you said, Omeniu's coming back. You know, Uche, he's going to get better as kind of things pick up. What I would really like to see is the offense click a little bit more so they can play with a lead, so they can kind of rush the pass.
I
feel like the offense being constantly behind, you know, a lot of those sacks are situational. And when you're playing from behind, you don't have that same, you know, you're playing with the lead, you can rush the quarterback, you pin your ears back and go. When you're playing from behind, it's not quite the same for the defense. So I think the offense plays a little bit into that as well.
I like it. It's a good point. Julio from the text line agreeing with Julio's number of 5 from the 816 from the 660 of 4. They say they're not that concerned because of your point, Mac, with them being able to stop the run defense.
Yep, you know, absolutely.
The run has been great between Thornton or Chris Jones, obviously, has been fantastic and has been
Pinnell comes in there. Yeah, all those guys. I mean, 87 yards a game on the ground, I think it is. And what this year has been kind of just a bring back the run.
Yeah.
Season, so good for them, but still got to get to the quarterback.
Real quick, wide receivers. How concerned are you about the wide receiver unit? This is a tough one, I think, because you could go low and say, well, they're getting Hollywood back, I think they're going to be fine, or you could say, yeah, I'm still a little bit concerned about this. Like, I could see you picking anywhere from 3 to 7 in this.
I'm going to go right in the middle at 5. I feel like that's the cop out, but I'm kind of right in the middle there. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is electric, is elite. He was the guy I wanted. We know this, and we've seen those fruits bear out in the first couple weeks. But again, 47% of the snaps last Sunday, but I think that will change come the playoffs. Hollywood Brown could come back. But behind those guys, we've got to see number one Xavier Worthy step up. We've been more encouraged than I think some people have. We talked about that last night. So, yeah, I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go, you know what? Actually, I'm talking myself. I'm going to go 4.5. I'm talking myself into this a little bit more.
All right. Yeah, I'm almost there. I'm at a 4. And
okay, good.
I only say that because look at last year. They had a lot less to work with, and they made a lot more out of it.
Yeah.
And as the season goes on, hopefully the offense kind of clicks a little bit more. You know, man, last year was just so rough. That was such a rough receiving core. So I'll take this year's receiving core over last year's and put my faith in Patrick Mahomes that he'll step his game up as the season goes on and they'll click more.
We see some 5s, a 7 until Hollywood is back.
I think I
could see you go from 3 to 7. I get it. I get it.
Not much faith in Hollywood. Well,
yeah, I know.
Until Hollywood is back, is what they say. So theoretically, I would think Hollywood comes back and it jumps down.
Well,
to
but
a
I think Julio's saying so. What Hollywood's worth a 2 or a 3 in the concern meter?
I don't know that he's going to have that much of an impact.
A guy who's never played here. Yes. Like again,
injured
I was extremely excited about Hollywood Brown coming into the season, but that's coming into the season, 17 games.
Right
now, coming here, week 12, week 13, week 14, whenever it may be, Christmas. I mean, shoot, that's week 16 ish. I mean, it's just not a lot of ramp-up time, so I don't know.
To me, the fact that it's not a leg problem, it makes Hollywood's
That's
impact.
Fair.
He's going to be quicker to, as long as he can be in that shape. Of course, there's nothing like in-game shape in sports, but I think he'll be able to be effective. Real quick, too, from the text line. They're from the 660. I'm at an 8 for Matt Nagy.
Oof.
Matt Nagy's concerned me over the last 2 years. He's garnered, at least on our show, on Cody and Gold, Mac. Matt Nagy's garnered a little bit of heat in regards to the way the offense looks and maybe some of Patrick Mahomes' problems. There's a lot of Nagy,
I've seen it online, a lot of Nagy shade. I've seen it from the kingdom. I know it's there. I think it's a little unfair, I got to say. I think it's really easy to just go look at some box scores on Pro Football Reference and say, see, this was when EB was here. This is when Nagy was here. There's just so many moving pieces and moving parts. I think context does matter. But to say that the offense has been up to par, what we want to see, or even in the atmosphere of explosives, no. Nagy,
the way that he runs the offense a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of attention to detail and accountability. It seems like there's a little bit less accountability and attention to detail than
the accountability is the big one.
Getting in their face, holding them accountable.
I loved that about AB. I get that. I loved that about him.
That was what we talked about last night. Actually, is I want to see Mahomes get in somebody's face
a little bit every night.
I want to see some passion.
I want to see Mahomes get in somebody's face.
So you're with him. You're with him on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it would be good to see. When we come back, we're going to talk about sports in general. Not necessarily getting mad at offensive linemen or anything, but I think you have a right to be mad, maybe at the prices of sports and the way that things are going, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that's going to change very much. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Julio Sanchez producing the show on the other side of the glass for us. So, Richard Deitch, if you missed this, was on with CDOT yesterday and had some, they had a conversation regarding the MLB plan relating to television. And Richard Deitch is a little bit skeptical of the plan that Major League Baseball has. Again, this was Richard Deitch on with The Drive and CDOT yesterday.
I'm a skeptic on this because as someone who lived in New York for 20 years, I find it very hard that the Yankees and the Mets would give up their revenue when it comes to the YES Network and SNY. Now, Rob Manfred is going to try to sell them on the fact that if we can get all our inventory under one roof, ultimately it will pay off for everybody long term. Maybe he's right, but you are making a big ask if you're the owners of the Yankees, the owners of the Mets, the owners of the Dodgers in particular, to walk away from these lucrative deals that have not only made them money, but it's essentially almost guaranteed them the playoffs all the time. Now, I get why, like, the Cardinals or the Royals or the Diamondbacks, you know, sort of name your mid-market kind of teams, why they would want all this, you know, why they'd want essentially an NFL model like you're talking about with Sunday Ticket. So I am a big, big skeptic. If you want to play the optimism role in terms of if you're looking at Major League Baseball, you're correct. I think two-thirds, if I'm right about this, of MLB's 30 teams have their rights available come 2028. So they would be setting, you know, already, they'd be sitting with basically 23, 24 teams to start with, and then they have to try to convince the big teams to go along.
So the way that the contracts work, if you don't know, is that basically the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers all have like their own network, and they're signed like into the 2030s, and it's lucrative for them. And as Richard Deitch said, basically they make enough money on it. They make the playoffs every single year. We know how much money they already can spend anyways. It's a little bit of a rigged system. It's the major market against the little guy.
The rich get richer, and yeah, it's exactly right.
The way that the model would be is that it's, and maybe, and Cody suggested this today, that you use kind of like the Big 12 model with Texas and Oklahoma, where, hey, we're going to give you a bigger piece of the pie because you're the main reason why we're watched. But eventually, it's going to turn into an equal slice for everybody. Again, do the Yankees want to do that? Do the Dodgers want to do that? Who knows? But I think that's a tough thing to navigate when you're dealing with baseball and the way that major markets against small markets, the way that their payroll system works and the way that the sport works, it's really difficult to try to balance everything out like the NFL is, where it's the most balanced professional league in sports, where everybody technically has an equal shot at doing things. You just have to do it the right way. And we see the differences throughout, of course, you know, time. It's not like the New York Jets and the New York Giants are the best teams. As a matter of fact, they're some of the worst teams, where Kansas City and Baltimore and even Cincinnati are making Super Bowls out of the AFC, but Buffalo, not nearly as big a market as LA or New York. The NFL is only is the big difference from them. This is the other thing that we're going to get into more regarding the expense for you consumers and you listeners and Mac and I and Julio. The future of sports is going to be expensive for consumers. Here's what Richard Deitch gave his reasoning for, again, with CDOT yesterday on The Drive.
The one thing, I hate to say, but the one thing you could always bet on is ultimately the consumer is going to pay more for sports. So Manfred may be able to pull this off, but again, I would just, for anybody listening, your audience, if you are a diehard baseball fan, the likelihood is that you are going to have three or four, I'd say minimum, streaming services to watch all of these games. Now, again, a lot of people, you know, particularly men under the age of 40, they have discretionary income and they're willing to pay for it, but in many ways, sports heading forward, particularly in the 2030s, it's kind of going to be an upper middle class play. You're going to have to spend some money in order to watch this stuff.
And I think that's something that people obviously don't want to have to spend more money to consume sports. But Mac, the way that we're going about things, you know, whether it's, you know, with baseball, you need Apple TV. If you want to watch all the Royals games, you need the Bally app, you need Apple TV. You might need eventually some other sort of app, ESPN Plus, I don't know, something along those lines for football. If the Chiefs are on Thursday night, you need Prime. If you want to watch them next Friday on Black Friday, You need Prime. If you're not in the Kansas City area, you'll be able to watch it locally here. But if you're a Chiefs fan and you're somewhere else and you're listening, you're going to have Prime.
Christmas?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Peacock. You know, you can run down the line of all of those things. Julio, we're going to get to a point where we're going to have a pay-per-view Super Bowl. Eventually, as much as it sucks, we are going to get to that point eventually. I think Richard Deitch is on it. By the next 10, 15 years, you're going to have to pay money to watch the Super Bowl. That's the way that we're going.
I mean, they make so much money off of it the way that it is. And I think the key with football is you still get the games locally regardless. Whereas
one
MLB,
of the best things about the NFL,
that's I think what MLB needs to maybe mirror a little bit more is your local, especially with baseball being so localized. I mean, make the games accessible in one spot locally, nationally. Who cares? It's a regional game anyways.
And we see it in the viewership with the NFL. And the NFL has done a bunch of things. Like you say, Peacock, Amazon Prime. They've done things in the past before. And everyone said, oh, this will drive the consumer away. This will drive the consumer away. And the numbers have gone up, 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 up. But eventually, there will come a time where they do push that envelope too far. And we all say, you know what? No, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not paying for this anymore. Yeah, exactly. And you know what?
Hold on. Are you really going to say no? Because as much as we love the NFL, I think people are going to be like, you know what? $75 or $50. I want to watch the Super Bowl. I've got $50. I want to watch the Super Bowl. People pay to watch UFC fights all the time.
People legally stream UFC fights all the time
as
well.
Correct.
And that's why those numbers don't look the same.
Correct. But I think we're going to get to that point where people are like, you know what? I'm going to pay to watch. Like, people pay for the UFC fights. I think it's going to become a thing for the NFL games.
I watch UFC every Saturday. I haven't paid for a fight in years. Just saying.
He's telling on himself right there.
I was going to say, you're snitching on yourself. I'm not that bold.
Yeah, I don't care. No. I mean, come on.
I will do the same.
I'm along with millions of fans. Come on. I mean, and those aren't showing in the ratings, and that matters. I think that matters.
If you have to reset the stream, though, a couple times and you miss a big play, then are you a little bit more irritated?
It sucks. No, it's annoying. And in the NFL, I would.
Because I'm be honest,
and if it's still worth it. If it was the Super Bowl,
I get you.
I'm be honest. If you have to reset your stream and you miss a Xavier Worthy bomb, and all of a sudden you look and the score is 14-7 in the Super Bowl, and you're
I'm going to be so mad.
Exactly.
No, that's fair. I'd shell out the 50 for the Super Bowl.
I think for the NFL, for baseball, your point is fair, Julio. But if you want to grow it nationally, I think you need, like, baseball is it's not a problem necessarily because it's very passionate, involved in certain markets, kind of like college football. But the national aspect of college football is growing. You need baseball to become more national where, you know, people know who Bobby Witt Jr. is all the time because he's that good. I think that's where they need a more national audience because people are falling off of baseball a little bit for a variety of different reasons. But make it more accessible. Promote your stars. All those things. I don't know exactly how you do it. But based on what we've seen from how the streaming services have gone, I don't know how much it's going to help our viewership in terms of things because of how much sports cost. It's only going to keep getting bigger because they know we're going to pay for the NFL. Eventually, I think it's going to get there where it's the most popular sport in the world, in America for a reason. People will buy it. They will get apps.
I'd rather go somewhere and spend the $50 on food and beer and watch the game in a crowd than spend money at home to watch the Super Bowl.
I think that's fair.
So, but like I said, Drew, is there a line?
I think that there should be. I think for myself, there would be. Like, if, for instance, if we had, say the Super Bowl was Buffalo and say it was Buffalo and Philly, I don't think I would spend $100 to watch it. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I would, but there are a lot of people I think who absolutely would spend $100.
Well, and how would that affect their sponsorship, right? From the aspect of if you're making people pay, your viewership, while it's still going to be good and the NFL is going to be making money directly, you're going to have less viewership, you know,
oh, 100%.
Eyes on it.
I'm inviting 10 friends over. We're each paying $10.
As a sponsorship, I'm not going to pay you as much to have less eyes on my commercial.
Yes.
Somebody said, if we get to that point, the illegal streams will go crazy. I agree. I think it's, I'm not saying it should get that way. I'm just saying it might get that way.
I think it is a fear. I agree.
Where you're going to have to pick. To Richard Deitch's point, like, if you have the money, congratulations. But if you don't, we're going to have to start picking and choosing what we really watch and what we don't watch. And it stinks. It's not fun. We don't like it. But I wonder if, I just based on what he said, it seems like we're getting to that point. Coming up next, Andy Reid can do something that only Don Shula and Bill Belichick have done on Sunday. We'll talk about what that is and a legacy conversation regarding Andy Reid. That comes next on After Hours. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours.
After Hours continues on 96.5 The Fan. Mike Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Julio Sanchez. Very good music choice.
Great music choice. Banger.
My wife hates this song because it was she thinks it's one of the most overplayed songs, which is kind of true.
That's true. It's been a while.
It's good now when you read, right? You know, when you circle back to it.
It's coming back, you know. Still a banger. It's fine.
You like that? You like to sing into it?
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. Keep on going. So the Steelers and Browns, Thursday Night Football, AFC North matchup. It's nasty outside. Snow.
It is. It's windy. It's
mucky.
Flurry.
0-0 in the first quarter.
0-0. Just had the biggest play of the game, though. Pickens with a contested catch down the sideline.
He's one of the best contested catch guys.
100%.
George Pickens is.
That's what he does best.
And Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Andy Reid, though, I think a lot of people would say is the best coach in the NFL currently.
No question.
And he can continue his quest to be the GOAT. He might already be the GOAT in some of your opinions. But Andy Reid on Sunday can clinch his 19th season with double-digit wins. Only Bill Belichick and Don Shula have more. Each had 20 seasons with at least 10. You would assume Andy Reid is going to obviously get double digits this year. Could do it on Sunday, can do it any other game the rest of the season. And then next year, or the next 2, 3, 4 years, however much longer you think Andy Reid's going to coach, can get to double-digit wins, especially with the extra game. That helps a little bit as well. But he's going to pass Don Shula and pass Bill Belichick. What does it take for him to be the GOAT? We had this conversation on Cody and Gold a little bit. Also, you know, do coaching trees matter in regards to that conversation? Somebody mentioned that on the text line earlier today, and I thought that was interesting because that's a topic that doesn't come up when we look at the GOAT. It's, you know, win totals, Super Bowl rings, the typical, you know, characteristics of what makes up the greatest of all time. Mac, I think Andy Reid is going to go down as the greatest of all time.
Yes.
If he's not already.
Come on.
But
thank you.
But I wonder, to me, coaching,
say thank you like I did something. I did not do anything. I just say like thank you because
you really wanted me to say that instead of who Marvin Lewis is the GOAT, because again, he's not even close. And I was raised in a hate the Patriots that's household funny. Growing up in Indianapolis.
I just thought we were going to have to argue about Bill Belichick for a minute. So that's good.
No, Bill Belichick. Well, first of all, Andy Reid's never cheated before. Bill Belichick has on record cheated. So I think that obviously can be part of your argument for Andy Reid, along with the fact that Bill Belichick had Tom his whole career. Mahomes has been in his whole career with Andy Reid, but Andy Reid had Donovan McNabb and hasn't had Mahomes all of the entire time. Like
and he's won with everyone.
If Andy Reid had Mahomes in Philly as well as in Kansas City, we're talking about more Super Bowls than what he currently has, and also just more success, where it's hard to have more success than what Andy Reid has had in his time as a head coach. Didn't matter whether it was Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, now Patrick Mahomes. I think that goes to show you more about who the GOAT really is, because Bill Belichick didn't have Tom Brady. What happened? If Bill Belichick comes back, I think he could potentially damage his case more. Say he takes the Jags job, or say he takes, I don't know, name your pick, Dallas's job. If he didn't win, it's going to stain his legacy, I think, more than he can, I guess, help his legacy out. I know he reports or he wants to coach again, but I think he'd be better off waiting and not coaching again in terms of the GOAT case. But I think Andy Reid's going to get there eventually.
Well, and we talked about it a little bit off the air, is do coaching trees matter? You know, and I think being a part of a coach is obviously, you know, invigorating everyone with the passion for what you're trying to do, what the objective is, which is trying to win, and in which how you're doing that within the system and a culture, and bringing that leadership and that passion and those teaching skills onto other people and giving them those and abilities to carry that on to the next team, to the next culture.
It should factor in.
And I think it should factor in, because you look at Andy Reid's coaching tree, Doug Peterson, 5 playoff wins, won a Super Bowl, 60-53. Sean McDermott, 73-41, 5 playoff wins. Obviously, we saw Nagy, 34-31. You go, Nagy, I mean, it wasn't a great... Well, he brought Trubisky to the playoffs twice. Okay, so he had a 10-win season with Mitch Trubisky. Where is he right now? Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is the best coach in Bill Belichick's coaching tree. 52-48. 2 playoff wins. He is the one coach in Bill Belichick's coaching tree that is above 500. 52-48. Joe Judge, 10-23. McDaniels, 20-23. And you got Patricia at 13-29. Flores is the next best at 24-25.
His coaching tree stinks.
It sucks. Whereas everyone that Andy Reid is with kind of seems like it turns into gold at some level. And I think that matters. I mean, this is just from the 2010s. So this isn't even including like a John Harbaugh would be coming from Andy Reid. Like those names would be there too. So I think that would go along with the debate because it matters about the imprint that you leave on the game. And there's no doubt that the imprint that Andy Reid's going to leave on the game is going to be pretty easy to see because you're going to be watching football and they're going to show coaching tree graphs and every one of them is going to have Andy Reid at the top of them. And it's go, damn, that's a good coach. Damn, that's a good coach who just won a Super Bowl. Oh, wow, that's a guy who's innovative and bringing new offensive systems to the league just like, oh, Big Red, Andy Reid did. And then that matters to me. We don't see that with Bill Belichick.
913-586-7965. Be a part of the conversation. Is Andy Reid the GOAT? Is Andy Reid the GOAT right now? Do you think he's going to be the GOAT? I feel like even if you're not a Chiefs fan, I think that you can admit without much hesitation that Andy Reid is probably the best coach that's ever existed. Like I don't know the argument against it. I do. For me, coaching trees aren't necessarily as much about the coach as much as it is maybe your imprint. It's like a legacy conversation more than it is like a GOAT coach conversation. Like, if you're the greatest coach of all time, it doesn't matter what your coaching tree looks like. To me, I don't think it does. But in terms of your lasting legacy on the game of football,
yes.
In 30 years, people say, yeah, Bill Belichick was a great coach. He was really, really good. But in terms of imprint on the game of football and exactly. The way that it developed and the way that it's played isn't due to me, Bill Belichick, as much as it would be Andy Reid. And if you want to consider it a part of it, sure. Everybody's got a different opinion regarding the GOAT. I just think it's more of a legacy conversation where Andy Reid will have a longer lasting legacy on the game of football than Bill Belichick. Somebody from the text line as well mentioning earlier that if you could also use it in defense of Bill Belichick as, hey, Andy Reid, he had a lot of guys underneath him, or Kyle Shanahan had a lot of guys underneath him. And then Bill Belichick evidently didn't have very many good people or good coaches underneath him, and he still won with Tom Brady. So there's ways that you can use it, of course,
as well. That's part of being a coach.
Sure.
That's part of being a coach is hiring good people underneath you and having them have the ability to go out and branch off and fly by themselves.
But
that's
even if
huge.
But if they stunk as coaches and you still won 7 Super Bowls, does that not show that you're a better coach?
Didn't stink as coaches. They were great coordinators.
You can use it in that way. I'm just saying, like,
no, I get it.
I don't think that Andy Reid is a... Andy Reid is not as good of a coach as he is because of Matt Nagy or because of Eric Bieniemy, as much as it should be compared to head-to-head wins, compared to Super Bowls, compared to... Like, you can have it as a part of the conversation, sure, but I don't think it should be the end-all, be-all as to whether or not you're the greatest coach of all
time. It's a factor. I agree, though. It's a factor, though.
913-586-7965. When we come back, we're going to play a little game. Who are your top 5 teams most likely to win the Super Bowl? Not necessarily a game, but a little bit of a debate, because I'm sure Mac and I will be a little bit different. You can factor in as well. Julio will get your 5 as well. Who are your top 5 teams most likely to win the Super Bowl? It can be AFC, it can be NFC, it could be all AFC, it could be all NFC, whatever. Your top 5 teams most likely to win the Super Bowl. 913-586-7965. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Julio Sanchez producing the show on the other side of the glass. Your top 5 in terms of contenders, teams that are most likely to win the Super Bowl. 913 586-7965. Be part of the show. Max is going to give his five. I'm going to give my five. Julio is going to give me and Mac his five. What is your five? Yeah, 913-586-7965. Mac, do you want to do this in just give us your five, or do you want to go one by one?
You know, I
across the board.
Are we going to start two with the top of the list as the number one contender, or are we going to go? You know,
that was my next question.
Okay, let's do all five of your. We'll do all five, but we start with five and we go to one. I like it.
Okay, yeah. Let's start at five. I think there's the most discussion at the bottom of the list rather than the top of the list. If you listen to Fesco and Dusty, 6 to 10 Monday through Friday. Every Wednesday, we do Max Pack around 7:25. And this is basically what Max Pack is. This is the top five teams that are most likely to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not wavering on my list from just a few days ago. I'm gonna keep this same list, but I'm excited to bring it to the forefront to you guys to get some reaction here. My list has not changed a lot in the past few weeks, but there was a big move this week in my list, boys. A huge move. A monumentous move. Number five, the Chargers.
Brand new entry in the list of
Max Pack is the LA Chargers. Reasoning being, I look at coach and I look at quarterback. As far as coach QB combo, they got to be up there. Top five, that's a little strong maybe. Top 10, there is no question. Herbert is back. I don't know if he ever left, but he is back in full front. And that defense, I got to give him some credit, man.
Okay.
I don't think they're top three or whatever, like everyone's trying to say right now, but I think they're damn good. And I think they're really good at everything. I don't think they have a super big hole. And again, Harbaugh just gets these teams back to fundamentals. They know how to play football. They don't really make a lot of mistakes. Herbert's not turning over the football. I like the Chargers. I'm going to put them in there at my number five.
Okay.
He doesn't like it. Number four.
I don't, because they just whipped up on my Bengals the other night. All right.
Man, and you guys almost... Oh, it was crazy.
I'm salty.
It was personal. That's personal right there. Number four, I'm going to go Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to stick there. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Derrick Henry. But the defense, it is an issue. It is a struggle. That is the biggest hole. That is my biggest question mark. But I can't waver from the way they score. And again, we just talked about Jim. We'll talk about his brother John. That's another damn good coach QB combo. Mm. Detroit. I think it's the best overall team in football, the best roster in football right now is the Detroit Lions, and they're playing like it, but when it comes down to it, I don't think they have the star power on either side of the football, especially the defense without Aiden Hutchinson. They don't have the star power.
Is it Zadarius Smith in there?
He's good.
Not Aiden Hutchinson.
He's not top five defensive player possibly. And then again, I hate to be a broken record, but quarterbacks matter to me. Jared Goff, when it comes nut cutting time, I believe he'd make it in the Super Bowl, but it's a fourth quarter. It's him versus Josh Allen. It's him versus Patrick Mahomes. Hell, it's him versus Lamar Jackson. Hell, it's him versus Herbert. I'm more confident in those other guys. And then the Bills at number two. I don't really need to go into it. Josh Allen's the second best quarterback on the planet, and they've got a damn good team. Another really well-rounded team. And then I'm going to go Chiefs at one.
Julio, what is your five?
Yeah, let's go. I gotta admit, I was close with the Chargers.
You were close.
I was close. I can't put them over the Ravens quite yet.
So Ravens at five.
I got Ravens at five, though.
Okay.
Ravens at five.
Okay.
Four, I got the Eagles.
Gotcha. That was my six.
They're just they're playing some good ball right now. Their defense is starting to pick up. Jalen Hurts is they're starting to click on all cylinders. Not a big fan of the coach, and I'm not. You know,
not a lot of people are.
He's probably the weakest part of that team.
Yes, he is.
But I'm going to put him at four. Three, I have the Bills. Again, self-explanatory. I mean, they just beat the Chiefs. They're looking good. What can you say?
Okay.
Number two, I have the Chiefs.
Wow.
I do. Yeah, whoa.
Did you misspeak? We're not at one, right? This is number two?
And so here's my reasoning behind this.
I like it, though.
This is my reasoning behind this. As my number one, I'm going to go with the Lions, and the only reason I'm going that route is because, I mean, when you look at the AFC, they're just going to eat each other up. They're going to beat each other up. When you're looking at the NFC, I mean, it's basically
it's Detroit,
the Lions,
Philly.
And then Philly, and then who else? I mean,
I like it.
So it's going to be a much easier path for them to get to the Super Bowl, maybe get there a little more healthy than some of the other AFC teams. I think it's
I like it.
Disappointed.
That's my logic, right?
All right. So
I could love it, hate it, whatever.
All right. So my five, I think the Packers are at five I think that Ooh. Jordan Love, I picked the Packers as well as you did, I believe, Mac, to go to the Super Bowl.
Jordan Love was my MVP.
Jordan Love, I think, he's had a little bit of an offseason. He's been dealing with the injuries, but he's also got a decent number of picks. He's been making some more mistakes. Defensively, I think there's some question marks, but I think they're going to figure it out. They're 7-3 still. They're not playing as good as maybe you would think, given their record.
Yeah.
Which is where I think the improvement can still potentially come. So I'm going to say Packers at 5. I'm going to go Eagles, like Julio at 4. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have had them near the top 5, and now they've started to really put games together. Saquon looks great. Jalen Hurts is doing everything defensively. They're really starting to look good. Cooper DeJean is getting more of a role. Mm. He's looking nice. Quinion Mitchell.
Lockdown.
Two really good rookies.
They found two lockdown corners back-to-back in the first round.
Absolutely. And then I got the Bills at 3. Yep. I think, you know, they beat the Chiefs. They're a really sound team. I just don't think in terms of Super Bowl contention, they're there, but I don't think there is they're not as likely as the Lions at 2 or the Chiefs at 1 to win the Super Bowl. You notice I didn't say the Ravens.
Yeah, no Baltimore.
Baltimore ain't got no shot of winning the Super Bowl this year.
Makes me
ain't no shot.
No,
I don't know.
No
about
chance.
That.
Okay, yeah. Can we? Okay.
No chance.
Yeah,
that's a
can we take this take, back? Right? What's
defense,
happening?
Defense wins championships, boys.
This is a guy, Julio. I don't think you were here a few weeks ago. This is a guy who was pining for the Bengals to still have a chance because of how well the offense was playing.
He's still holding on to hope. I'm
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
I know you are.
and now there's no chance for Baltimore. No chance.
I'm not talking about that team. I'm not talking about those boys for a while. I love them and I support them. And I'm going to be rooting for them. Thank goodness they're not playing this Sunday. They finally get a bye. The Lord knows that they need it.
They need it.
But defense wins championships. If you look at the way that their schedule is played out, I guess notably you picked the games against Cincinnati, very late games. If they lose those games, they're five and six. So I think
they play that with the Chiefs, though,
Absolutely.
I know, but to me, the Chiefs have a defense where you can rely on them and trust them to make plays if it's a low-scoring game. If the Ravens are low-scoring, they're not winning the games. Like, if the Ravens score 17 points, they're not beating the Chargers. You know, and we're going to actually see that, ironically, on Monday night because it's the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just think that they have to score so many points, they're not capable of winning a Super Bowl, to me.
I get where you're
coming. Just for the defensive side of things. I know Lamar is playing great. He's probably the MVP, he's in that conversation with Josh Allen. It's those two.
Yep.
I don't trust them in the playoffs because they're going to need the defense to make a play, and they've really had a hard time making plays when it matters most against good competition.
I hate the if game. Hate the if game. Mm. This is a long season, and every one of these teams that we mentioned, the Packers, the Eagles, the Bills, besides Detroit, and they have one or two. Minnesota's one where they won by 1 point or 2 points. They had a close game against Green Bay. It was messy weather. But really, other than Detroit, we can count them out. Fine. Every one of these has at least two, probably three games where you go, wow, that ball could have bounced a different way.
They're all flawed.
Yes, exactly. So I don't like that. And yeah, you look at this Chiefs schedule. My God, the first five or six games felt like inches. It was quite literally a big toe away from being a different result in just week one. So I don't like the if game, but there is no doubt they are a flawed team. They are not complete. And I'm there with you. I'm fine with them at 4 or 5, but man, being out of the top 5.
And to me as well, last year was a chance. They had the best defense in the NFL.
It's fair.
And they,
besides Kansas City.
They had the best defense in the NFL last year and they fell short. They have a horrendously bad defense this year. What makes you think they'd be able to? I think that gives them zero chance.
Here's where I think that the path probably has to lay itself out appropriately for them, right? Meaning they match up well against the Bills.
Very right? well. They will beat out. The Bills in the playoffs.
Say they meet the Bills in the AFC Championship.
That game's going to be like 35
they
to
have
38.
A
yeah.
I mean, if they meet, you know, even say the Lions in the Super Bowl, I mean, the Lions have a good defense.
And the Lions would beat them.
But they have a shot to beat them, though. I mean, the Lions' defense isn't like.
But again, I think
otherworldly,
that,
you know.
To me personally,
and I think make Jared Goff make mistakes.
Yeah. Things have to line up for you perfectly. And to me, in my opinion, that's them not playing the Chiefs at all whatsoever. They need the
Agreed
Ravens need that. The Chiefs to lose
yes.
in the divisional round.
Agreed.
Because yes. if they play the Chiefs, they have no chance. They have no chance to beat the Chiefs. So I Agreed. Think that the Ravens are the one. I guess that might be the one outlier. They need. If they match up against anybody but the Chiefs, then maybe they have a shot to at least get to the Super Bowl. But I don't know. I'm not buying it as much as I am those other teams.
I think the difference of all the teams that we mentioned, the one team that, and I was a Packers guy right there with you, Drew. The reason I don't have them in my top five, and I think they're more like seven or eight to me on this list, would be out of all the teams we mentioned, every team is great at least one thing. I don't look at Green Bay and I see them being great at anything.
They're solid.
They're good at a lot of things, but they are not great at one thing. And I thought that was going to be quarterback play. And that's still, you know, viable to change, but that has not been the case so far.
Jordan Love, his numbers real quick, by the way, before we go to break. He's got 16 touchdowns, but 11 picks. So, like, Mahomes, again, 11
he's
picks.
He's right there with Mahomes. But he's right missed there. 2.5 games, Jordan Love.
Which also makes it, it potentially makes it look a lot worse,
it does.
Actually.
It does make it worse.
He has been that poor. Coming up next, we're
By the way, Steelers. Go ahead. Steelers up 3-0. Chris Boswell hits a field goal.
Oh, it's a barn burner. It's a barn burner in Cleveland, boys. 3-0, second quarter. Typical AFC North matchup.
I hit the under, baby. Let's go.
When we come back, second hour of the show, we'll get it started with, as always, our out of left field question. It's After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.